certain times. That's what I want to speak about, really. If you were here last week, you heard Chris talking from Isaiah 61. There's the words up there. Words that Jesus himself uses in Luke 4, almost as if he's giving us his mission statement, his vision statement, his manifesto. And Chris was taking us to those verses to say, just perhaps this is the kind of people that God's calling us to be. That just perhaps God is giving us a real confidence at the start of a new year, that even though we're living in uncertain times, we know what we're called to be, who we're called to be, and how we're called to live. And that was a powerful message last week. And so I've got some other headlines for you, really. That was from Isaiah 61. We're not going to preach that passage this morning because we're in for an exciting ride over the next few weeks when Pastor Chris unfolds more of that vision for us, really. So I'm trying to reinforce what's already been said and establish a beachhead, if you like, for what God wants to say with us over the next few weeks. And I'm also going to be preaching from Isaiah chapter 48. If you've got a Bible, you might want to go there. We have got New International Version Bibles either side of the church. If you want to grab hold of one, it's always good to have a Bible in front of you. The context of this passage in Isaiah 48 is this, that Isaiah is living in a time that has been prosperous, and suddenly the country is beginning to fall to pieces. There's a lot of corruption going on. There's a lot of idolatry going on. They're oppressed, particularly going to suffer heavily from the Babylonians and be many Israelites exiled to Babylon. So it's a tough time. And after a series of messages and words about condemnation and judgment, suddenly Isaiah's tone changes, and the things that God is asking him to say are about comfort, are about restoration, are about renewal, are about victory rather than defeat. So that's where we find ourselves in here. Isaiah 48, I'm going to start reading from verse 12. Listen to me, O Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am he. I am the first and I am the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Come together, all of you, and listen. Which of the idols has foretold these things? The Lord's chosen ally will carry out his purpose against Babylon. His arm will be against the Babylonians. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I will bring him, and he will succeed in his mission. Come near and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the sovereign Lord has sent me with his Spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Amen. So we're living in uncertain times in a world that's uncertain. We're living in a church, I think, that in uncertain times we're called to be increasingly certain. If there is a lack of confidence in the world, we need to be reminded that we should be living as confident people, as a confident community of God. So I've got three simple things I want to say to you this morning that are going to give you confidence in uncertain times. And the first one, and it's going to come up on the screen in a moment, is you have a commander that you can count on. You have a commander that you can count on. There's a growing disillusionment with leaders, it seems. Every newspaper that you pick up, every TV program that you watch, reminds us that worldly leaders, political leaders, government leaders, national leaders, time and time again let people down. There's either an expectation that they're going to be corrupt, or they're going to lie, or they're not going to be able to deliver what they promise. And if you've ever been in a position where you've been let down and hurt by somebody in leadership and authority, it is hard, isn't it? It is tough. But this passage reminds us that above everything else, we have a commander that we can count on. God is faithful and trustworthy. His direction is always best for us. I can remember being down a campsite in the Gower, a youth camp, I don't know, about 20 years ago, perhaps something like that. And one of my jobs at this youth camp was to lead the night walk. I had to take about 80 or 90 young people with some other leaders. I can't remember if Gary was there, or I think Jill certainly was there. And I had to lead this walk about 10 o'clock at night, go out in the dark and take 80 or 90 young people for like 5 or 6 mile walk around the Gower and back to the campsite. So I went out in the daytime and I planned and prepared the walk fastidiously with a map and a compass and all my directions. But of course, when you get out in the dark, everything looks slightly different than it does in the light. There's a spiritual lesson for you there. And ever so confidently I strode, and then not quite so confidently and not quite certain where we were going. And all of a sudden, I was hit by a big spotlight and a man came out with a shotgun pointing at me. And unbeknownst to me, for the last 10 or 15 minutes, we'd been walking on private property. And he gave me an almighty telling off. And I guess he thought I was bringing 80 or 90 people to rob this big mansion house that he was living in. Well, I wasn't planning to do that. So with my tail between my legs, I had to turn around to everybody I was supposed to be leading and say, "I'm sorry, guys, we've gone the wrong way. We're going to have to go back all the wrong way." We had to retrace all of our steps back to the main road until we found where we were. Let me tell you this. If you really are being obedient to God as your commander, listening to his voice, you're never going to end up on a dead end. Yeah. You're never going to walk down the wrong path. God isn't going to make a mistake and take you somewhere and say, "Oh, hold on a minute, this is a bit embarrassing, but I didn't mean to take you down here. You're going to have to turn back and go the other way." You can have complete confidence and authority that God wants to take you on a path that he's planned for you, that he's ordained for you, that's going to be the best place for you to go. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus is everlasting. Jesus is perfect love. We have a commander that we can count on. In that passage there, God is speaking through Isaiah and he says, "I am he, I am the first and the last." And actually the Hebrew of that means he's the first and the last geographically and chronologically. Whether you're talking about place, Jesus, God, has gone before you. He's there with you. He remains there after you. In the times in your life, even when you weren't aware of the presence of God, God is with you. There's never going to be a time in your life when you won't be without that commander. There's never going to be a place that you could go to where you won't be able to hear that commander's voice if you want to hear it. Because you have a commander, and his name is Jesus, and you can count on him. Isn't that good news? In a world where increasingly people just don't know who to put their faith in, we can say, "Well, we do. His name is Jesus. We'll obey his commands. He is utterly faithful and trustworthy." And just in case you're uncertain of that, you're thinking, "Well, I would love to hear his voice. I just would love to know how Jesus has spoken." Some of us have forgotten that Jesus has already spoken to us. God spoke to the world through Jesus. Jesus has spoken to us in the Bible. Let's move on very quickly. There's the Great Commission, and then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone everywhere." That's not a message for a select few. That's a command to us all. God has already spoken that into your life. What's your response to that command? Here's another one, the Great Commandment. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Love your neighbour as yourself. God's spoken that into your life already, whether you realised it or not. What's your response to that? I was with the street pastors yesterday afternoon doing some training for them. We mentioned this verse. Gary Smith, who's coordinating that work with street pastors, said he would love that verse to be a verse above any other verse that street pastors had engraved on their heart as they went out on the streets late at night in Cardiff and were involved in that pastoral ministry. Because he felt that summed up exactly what they wanted to be. They wanted to be people who love God, but they wanted to demonstrate that by loving others out on the streets. Some that others of us might find unlovable, but they were going to show the love of God to them. How many of you, I wasn't going to mention this, but I think I will, because you look like a crowd. How many of you have ever seen Norman Wisdom films? Quite a few of you. Norman Wisdom, if you're not sure, he was a British comedian. I think he's still alive, but in the 50s and 60s, he had lots of these black and white comedy films, and he was a very, very funny character. One of my favourite ones of them was when he was digging a hole outside an army barracks, and there was a group of soldiers marching. You know, and they all march in step, and the commanding officer shouts out, left, right, so they march along, you know, left, right, so they know when to put their foot down. And Norman Wisdom is watching all this, And suddenly he thinks he'll play a trick on the commander. So Norman Wisdom, in a louder voice than the commander, shouts, starting left, right, left, right, left, left, right, left, 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 right, right. And all the soldiers are trying to hop along like this. And the whole thing falls to pieces. I think there's a lesson there for some of us, that we've got so used to listening to different voices that we don't quite know how to walk in step anymore along the paths that God wants us to. So for some of us, this year of vision is going to be actually detuning from some of the voices of the world that we've got used to listening to, and actually listening to a commander that wants us to walk in step with other believers on the path that he's called us to walk. There, you never thought you'd get a spiritual lesson out of a Norman Wisdom film, did you? God is good. So we've got a commander that we can count on. Let's move on. Here's the second point. We've got a mission that really matters. We've got a mission that really matters. Last time I came back from India, back in June of last year, I was so ill on the way home, so poorly, I got Kampala back to this food poisoning, and I was in a heck of a state. I said to my wife, I said to Gary, I certainly said to Pastor Chris, I'm not sure if I can ever go back to India. I love that place, but I was so physically ill and so demoralised at the end of that trip, I don't know if I can ever cope with going back again. 14th of February, Jill and I are stepping on a plane to go to India. Yeah. Now, either that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me, or it's me being a bit stupid. But in a month's time, I'll tell you which one it was. But I believe that that's a mission that really matters. Yeah. And God's speaking to me about that. And I believe that God's stronger than my fears and my illnesses. So I'm going to step on that plane. I'm going to speak to some other people in this church who also believe that they've got a mission that really matters. We did this in the first service, and I think it's really helped. Richard, why does worship matter to you? Why do you bother to step up to that piano and lead worship every week? Why does your mission matter, and who does it matter to?
Well, worship is for God. And the Bible's very clear in actually Revelation chapter 4, and that chapter says that we were created for God's pleasure. Mm. That's why we exist. So it's absolutely fundamental to who we are that we worship. And not only are we destined for an eternity where we will be worshiping, but we're not just in the choir practice for heaven. We're actually where we are right now. God's saying, worship me. Mm. You were created for my pleasure. So it's essential to our whole destiny, really.
And it matters to you?
Well, it matters to God, and it matters to us.
Right.
If we're not worshiping, and that's not just singing songs, that's not just a musical expression, it's living a life of obedience, it's stepping out to your neighbor next door and saying, can I pray for you? It's doing. It's just being obedient to God, isn't it? Mm. If we're not doing that stuff, then we're not fulfilled in our lives.
Fantastic. Thank you, Richard. Paul Carpenter, you've been involved for ages in reminding us about the needs of the persecuted church. Why is that a mission that matters to you, and who does that matter to?
Yeah, we've heard this morning about missionaries, and there's so many missionaries and indigenous Christians in various nations who evangelize and take part in missions who are persecuted and discriminated against, and we're called to remember them and to pray for them and advocate for them and protest to governments to see that they are not discriminated against, and to remember them in prayer and in any way we can, really, and to have a heart to remember our brothers and sisters, people we may never met, may never meet this side of eternity, but people we can pray for and support, people who suffer, great persecution just because they're Christians and they want to spread the gospel message, in their own lands.
Fantastic. So I guess the same as Richard, it matters to God. Certainly matters to the people who are being persecuted if we can remember them and pray for them. It matters to us because we discover we're part of God's plans. Thank you, Paul. Mark Lyndon Jones, you've been heading up for ages now, Band of Brothers, and it's an incredible ministry. Loads of guys here are part of that. Same two questions for you. Why do you bother? You're investing so much time into men. Why do you believe that's a mission that really matters, and who does it really matter to?
Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, to go and make disciples. So as followers of Christ, that's our life purpose, to make disciples. What I like about Jesus, in Luke 3:14, it says that he chose 12 men that he might be with them. So So when he went out to make disciples, he didn't give them a big fishing net, a pair of sandals, and a megaphone. He didn't do that. He did life with them. So what did he do? He was eating with them. He was drinking with them. He was doing boat trips with them. He was walking on the water. He was climbing mountains. He was going to solitary places. He was in crowds, and he was feeding thousands. And I think, basically, you know, Jesus showed us the way. What is the way? To rub shoulders with people. And as we rub shoulders with people, if Christ is in us, then we'll influence people with Christ in us. You know, and as I look around this building and I see people and I see Kim, you know, my mate from work, you know, I think that's amazing that I go to a place to work. My purpose in going to that place to work isn't to work or earn money. It's actually to make disciples. So my mate's now in church. My mate's in the kingdom. And I think, you know, this is life-changing stuff that we're involved in. Yeah. As I look around, I see men that I'm doing life with, men that I'm being real with, men that I can relax with, men that know me. You know, and I can't believe it, Pastor, because I wrote down in my little bit of paper that actually Jesus wants us to stop, you know, stop the pretense. Because actually, people would rather see the real person that we are than the one that we're pretending to be. And, you know, and I'm saying, you know, that is a word to all of us, you know, to be the people that we are. Because the people that we are in Christ is the people that is the person that God made us, that Christ made us, and in that way we'll influence them. I'm going to shut up and pass on. So there we go.
Wow.
I wonder whether I should just sit down and let you carry on, Mark. That's fantastic. Let's round this little bit off. Shikala, Shikala, come down here. We've got a new ministry in church called Dot to Dot. Not many of you might have heard of that yet. It's a ministry that really helps us if we're trying to discover what gifts that we've got and how we can serve in the community of God and join the dots up and find the right place, then Shikala's heading that up. So tell us a little bit about that. I think I'm right. That's what how I've described it, isn't it? Why do you think that's a mission that really matters? It seems to me your mission this year is going to be, in a way, helping others discover their mission. Why do you think that's important and why does it matter?
I think it's because having gone through it myself, being not confident, not able to speak in public, etc., and to see where God's brought me now, where I'm quite happy to talk to all of you without feeling nervous, I think, my God, if he did that for me, what can he do to you all if you allow God to actually move and operate and maximize the potential that each one of us has if we just hand that over? So for me, my heart's desire is really to really dig deep and say, what's in your heart? What is it? What is one thing that you would do for God if you knew you couldn't fail? And really to try and tap into that. So identifying what's that potential? What are the secret desires that each one of us have when we're alone and we're praying and think, we want this, we want to do this for God? And it's stopping people from doing it. And for me, Dot to Dot is actually identifying that and unlocking it and nurturing it and then releasing that as a maximum potential. Because if you look all around, look how big we are and look at the potential that's in here, and it's really looking at what is our shape. You know, Dot to Dot is all about identifying our shape and getting into that shape and getting into action and doing something about it. So what are the spiritual gifts that each one of us have? What's our heart desire? What are our abilities? What's our personalities? And what is our experiences, life experiences that we've had? And how can we combine it all and really point in a direction where we're going to make a big difference, not only in the church, but outside in the community?
Fantastic. Thank you, Shikala. Somebody said to me after the 9 o'clock service, that was a great, great sermon. And I said, oh, thank you. What bit did you like about it? And she said, oh, the bit that all the other people did.
We read these words, the Lord's chosen ally will carry out his purpose. Now, as we read the chapters around that, we discover that God has chosen somebody to release the Israelites from their captivity, from the Babylonian oppression. It's not going to happen for 200 years. So some of you might have to hang in a little bit there for the fulfillment of the vision that God's given you. Hopefully not 200 years. But God's chosen ally in this statement is actually King Cyrus, who's a pagan king. Now God is choosing a pagan king, an enemy, to accomplish his purposes. If God chooses a pagan king to accomplish his purposes, Don't you think he can choose you to do something? Don't you think you've got a chance of accomplishing something for God? If an enemy, a pagan, can be used in God's purposes, then surely you can, if you really want to, and you really make yourself available. And that word there, to the chosen ally, the Hebrew word, it's like being a part of God's family. It's a family word. It's almost a word to describe a lover. That's how intimate God wants us to be as chosen allies, carrying out his purpose. He will succeed in his mission. And some of us think mission about short-term mission, about going out for a week to support Phil and Linda. And Richard's leading the team out. Richard Culph here, if you want to go and speak to him later. Some of us think that's what mission is. Or some of us think it's missionaries who go overseas for a few years or for the rest of their life. That word there, mission, most accurately, it's translated lifestyle, journey, pathway. What confidence we've got to be able to say we will succeed in our life. We will succeed in our pathway. We will succeed on our journey. Why? Because God has called us to walk those steps and God goes with us. That's incredible, isn't it? Here's the final thing for you. We're nearly finished. We've got a supply that is supernatural. Anybody want to say amen to that? More than that, we've got a provision that is plentiful. We've got equipment that's excellent. We've got material that's magnificent. Shall I continue? We've got a source that is sufficient, inspiration that's incomparable, anointing that's awesome, strength that's secure. Do I keep going?
Yes.
Presence that's permanent, sustenance that's significant, a resource that's remarkable, power that is Pentecostal. Yes. Come on, let's have a few amens and hallelujahs. Took me a lot of time to think of all those, so I'm glad it got. Pastor Chris has been reminding this last few weeks. The Spirit of God is already upon us. The Spirit of God has anointed us. Come near and listen to this. The Bible scholars think in Isaiah here, this is a different voice. This isn't the voice of God or the voice of Isaiah. This is the voice of Jesus, pre-incarnate voice of Jesus, saying, come near and listen to this. And now the Sovereign Lord has sent me with his Spirit. We're already on the winning side. But let me remind you of this. I'm interested in that word there where it says, come near and listen to this. In the Second World War, when the British, the Allied forces invaded Europe in June of 1944, D-Day, everybody said that was the battle that won the war, really. Two other significant battles happened later on in that year. Around September, October time, the British forces, the Allied forces, parachuted and glided into Holland for Operation Market Garden. Some of you might have seen the film A Bridge Too Far. It was a very audacious plan to go right behind enemy lines, and that the troops that went in advance would be connected with the troops that were coming up, and they'd capture three bridges over the Rhine and end the war very quickly. And what happened was that the troops went so far that they got caught up from their supplies. Their equipment didn't get through, the reinforcements didn't get through, and although it was a very bold and audacious attack, it failed. A few months later, in the Battle of the Bulge in the Ardennes Forest in Belgium and Luxembourg, the German forces had one final attempt to break through the Allied lines, and they made a bulge in the lines with their tanks. And as they broke through, they faced the same problem that the Allied troops had faced in Holland. The front troops went too far, and the supply couldn't catch up with them. And both of those bold attacks failed because the frontline troops lost touch with their supply. They ran out of food, they ran out of ammunition, they ran out of fuel. And I believe that one of the dangers we've got to be wary of this year is being so bold and so audacious that we believe we can do everything in our own strength. And we step out and we move away from God's supply and from his source and from his sustenance. And that's why all the time we've been talking about going further, we need to go deeper at the same time. As we go further into the world and into a world of brokenness, we need to go deeper into the supply and the source of our strength. And that's God through his Holy Spirit. We're almost done. You can leave that slide up there. So what am I saying to you this morning? Well, I think I'm saying this. I think I'm saying that if we're really the people that we're meant to be, we can step out of here with complete confidence and authority because we have a commander, Jesus Christ, But we need to stop obeying other commands and listen to his voice. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. We need to stop doing things that don't matter and discover the mission that really matters. And we've heard this morning of some people who are living in the fullness of that place. You wait, are you waiting to hear God? Well, he's already spoken to you through the Scripture. You just perhaps need that final bit of guidance. We are winners. Heaven is our destiny. God is our commander. Our mission is to a broken world, and we do that through the strength of the risen Lord Jesus and his Holy Spirit. Just before we take our mission offering, I wonder if you just bow your heads right where you are. Particularly speaking right now to anybody who, and you know that you haven't been obedient to the voice of Jesus as your commander. Perhaps you've never been obedient to him. And this might be an opportunity for you to commit your life to Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your friend, so that you'll begin to hear God speaking into your life. I wonder if there's anybody here like that this morning. You might have said before you came into this service you weren't a Christian. You want right now to restore your rightful place under the command of Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you put your hand in the air right now?